The following podcast is a part of RadioMisfits.com.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Misfits Making It. We're oddballs and we're doing cool stuff. I just got back from doing some cool stuff. By the way, my name is Lauren Lojudice. I just got back from my first tour. We called it the United States of Misfits Tour. And it went to Chicago, Caledonia, Kalamazoo, Detroit, Indianapolis, then Denver. I was there for a conference called Untangling Our Roots. And I'll talk about more about all of that, how that worked later. So a lot of people have asked me, like, how did you do it? What did you learn? And I feel like a lot of my friends in my comedy community and creative community want to go on a tour in some way. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be great if I could just put everything I learned in one place so I could direct people to it? And also share with people mistakes so you don't have to go through it. So if you're listening to this, maybe you want to go on tour. Maybe you're just interested on the behind the scenes of how tours work. The reality of it all, because it's definitely, I'm sure as you know, everyone knows, being an artist is hard. So, and there's a lot of like glitzy stuff on Instagram, like tour life and all this bullshit. So I'm going to tell you all the stuff that I learned from this tour. You might notice I have a cough drop in my mouth and my voice is a little froggy. And that's because tour life is exhausting. And I got sick when I came home from the first leg of it. I think I was just so like so pumped up for being in such a state of running around and stress for like a week that I crashed and I got a little sick. So it happens. It happens. So one thing I want to start off with is that you will never know until you do it. And people told me this. I ask a lot of producers, like, how do you tour? How does it work? Different questions about it, because I had a lot of anxiety because I was like, this is a lot. And the one thing they said over and over, you don't know until you do it. And it's true. I learned so much from the process of doing, because you're not only learning about how to tour, how to work with a venue, what venues are good, what cities are good, what days of the week are good. You're learning about yourself and who you're attracting and what you enjoy doing. Because if you don't enjoy it, there's kind of no point. It's hard. The money's not great. And if you don't enjoy it, then like, why? Here's the reality is that there are 7 days a week and not all of them are good to do a show. You're going to have to deal with an off night. You can't wait until Thursday if your last show was on a Sunday. So you're going to have to do a Sunday night and a Monday. Okay. So you're going to have to do the Mondays. Even Tuesdays aren't great. I didn't do a Tuesday, but I can imagine not great. We did Indianapolis on a Monday and the venue was like straight up. This part of the town closes on Mondays. Stores were closed. There was hardly any foot traffic. He's like, we never do shows on Mondays. He's like, so we're going to have to really push to get people to come to the show. Now, did people come to the show? Yes. There were a lot of out of towners actually. I mean, because there's nothing going on Mondays and the tourists in town were like, hey, this thing's going on. So know that it's not going to be the night that you could get on a Saturday. It's not going to be the turnout. There's no way. And that's just kind of it. Also, weather, good and bad, can totally affect who you get. If the weather's really bad, people stay home. In Denver, actually, I was going to teach a class, because that's one of the things I was thinking about is like another income stream for touring is to teach a class while I'm in another city. This was recommended to me by my friend Darius Amati. So it was a snowstorm in April in Denver and people are afraid to come down the mountain. So we had to cancel it. It happens. Good weather can also screw you. In Detroit, it was the first beautiful day of the year, the first spring day on a Sunday. So yeah, turnout was affected by that. People are not going to want to come sit in a dark theater when it's the first beautiful day. So weather, hey, you're going to have to just deal with it. You have one night only. It's just going to have to be the way it is. Also, depending on the town, Denver's a sports town. We had a pretty good turnout in Denver, but it was also a playoff game night. And that affected our turnout. And also they had a bunch of snow the day before, as I was saying, when I was supposed to teach this class. And that meant the next day, a lot of people were going up the mountain. And that's just the nature of the town. Now I learn Denver is a sports town and an outdoors town. Weather really affects you. And also, like, noticing a lot of tour schedules of different people don't include Denver. And I'm wondering if that's it. Have you ever toured Denver? What do you think? I have some people I'm going to reach out to, but if you have any ideas, let me know. See, because I'm still learning. I was there and I'm still learning about this. So I think to offset all of these things, you got to be obsessive about the date. I'm super obsessive looking at all of the holidays, trying to figure out, put myself in the mindset of people coming and trying to understand. I try to talk to locals. Is there anything I need to know about what's going on? I didn't know in DC, actually, in September, I did a date in DC as like a tester to see what it's like, if I could get some draw out of town, because you need a draw. You can't get everyone just with your promotion. You need a natural draw, in my opinion. And we did get a natural draw, even though it was the Washington, D.C. art weekend with three events going on all over town. So, yeah, be obsessive about your dates. I will never do a show in D.C. on that weekend ever again, because it's just a ding. It's a ding on your efforts. It's like one strike against you. And when you're doing stuff out of town, you want like you want to create for yourself the best opportunity to do as good as you can. So, okay. One thing to another thing is a mindset. I'm going to talk about mindset a few different times. This is like, think of all the challenges. I'm talking about a lot of challenges here. I think of them as challenges to be overcome, not obstacles to stop me. I talked to a lot of people about touring and they would react to things that I was saying as challenges, as like reasons they don't do it. So listen, you just got to think about, you can solve these things. Everything is figureoutable, which is a Marie Forleo quote. And you just got to do it. You just got to figure out. Someone else has done it before you. So you just got to go out, find in the information, talk to people, figure out how to overcome it and do it. So be aware, the closer you are to the tour dates, the more all of these negative thoughts are going to come in your head. So make sure you're journaling regularly. And I thought, like, when I was on tour and especially leading up to it, trying to integrate as many self-care practices like journaling and meditating and exercising and being healthy and getting sleep were very helpful, because you want to be in the right mindset to deal with all of the challenges that will come your way. So saying that, you want to really hone your material before you go. Unless you have a tour manager and an infrastructure, if you're doing a self-directed tour, a self-produced tour, you need to have your material down, because you're dealing with logistics and travel and things going wrong. I missed my bus in Chicago, and then I had to rent a car early. I was going to rent a car, but I had to rent it 2 days earlier, which was not good for the tour budget. But anyway, I had to rent it 2 days earlier. And I had to drive. That meant that I had about like 4 hours of work time. I had planned to do stuff that were out the window. Now, luckily, it wasn't stuff that was like, you know, honing material for the show. So I wanted to give you that as an example of like, there's no time. If you're thinking, oh, I'm on that, whatever, I'm going to sit there and memorize whatever. No, no, you need to have it's down cold. We were doing the Misfit Variety Show. I've been workshopping that show for like 2 years, I think. Like a year and a half, 2 years. In different incarnations, I needed to grow as an artist in order to be able to do it. I was like trying out different bits. I was talking to people. I was trying to figure out what this thing was. And so by the time I went out, I knew what it was. I knew the arc of the show. I knew how to run it. And I knew like what to worry about and what not to worry about. Like I started to understand that the show could work in many different forms, no matter what happened that night, meaning like different types of performers. Some people give a good performance, a not as good performance. Some people bring a different flavor to the mix. And I got a sense of like what would work and what would not. And most of the time, everything would work out. So that I had confidence that in the show format, that all these different things could happen and it would be fine. being able to have confidence and just not worry is helpful. So I also, one thing I did is I had a detail checklist. Checklists are amazing. I had all the details so that, and then I had it like a venue was asking me a question. Oh, like what deal did we do? And I was able to pull it up on my spreadsheet right there. And I showed them on my Google spreadsheet, like right there, there's the city, there's you, there's the question. And that's the answer that we agreed on beforehand. So I recommend having all the details in an easy to access space. So that if you're like, wait, do I need to get a tech for this thing or who's doing this or do they got door? You have it right there. So I got this advice from a friend, a comedian friend of mine, Jeremy Pimsley, who's developed different comedy rooms. When I started developing my comedy space in New York called Capiche Club Misfit Comedy Space, he said, improve one thing every time. And that is so helpful. And if you think about it, everything is data. Things go wrong, things don't go wrong. You just kind of like roll with it and just think, all right, I'm going to improve that next time. He's like, even during the show, you'll be like, oh my God, we're never doing this again. But just be like, okay, we won't do that again. But most of the time, the audience doesn't notice these small things that you're improving. I think they notice it eventually. Like when you improve a lot of things over time, they're like, and they see the show maybe one time and then they see it again, like a year and a half later, they're like, oh my God, this show's gotten so much different and better and interesting. And yeah, because you improve one thing every time. Now, I think each, I would learn this too, is that each city has its own relationship to outside acts. So I will say like Detroit is very much a hometown city. They like to support hometown acts, hometown shows. And so you're going to have to overcome that in order to get people to come in the door. They're going to want to understand. Also, my show is Misfit Variety Show. It tends to do well in a blue dot in a red sea. So they have a liberal community or a progressive community, or at least a community that's interested in what it is to be different and celebrating difference. So they need enough of those people who are interested in celebrating difference, but they don't have so much access to entertainment, which does that. I found that that was a good mix. And that's the thing. You're going to find the psychology of every city that you go to and understand how they relate to outside acts and the topic that you present. Now, if you're just headlining yourself, you represent something and they're seeing it, whether you know that or not, and they're going to respond to that, and the type of humor you have and whatever clips you have out that they might have seen represent something to them. And you're going to notice how that particular city reacts to you. That will help you understand how to go forward. So I also noticed that each city has a different relationship to local talent. I book local talent on my shows, which makes them very intensive. I did 5 dates in a row. I think that's the maximum I could have held because it's so hard. It's so much work to find the right talent in each city, book them, get their materials, get each individual flyer done for each city. That was a lot of work. I will say that local talent is great because they're known quantities, and also not so great because people have seen them before. So I think what I would do is I would overcome that objection by, one calls them objections in marketing speak, like objections, reasons why people might not want to come engage with what you have to offer. So I would overcome that by saying, like, you're going to see them doing stuff that you've never seen them before, because I often invite them to share something that they've never shared before, share their most vulnerable material. Often I'm asking people to develop stories for the show. So you want to make sure to make that clear. No one reads anything, so you have to somehow make it clear, very much so in the flyer, in a very visual way. I don't know exactly how I'm going to do that. I'm giving you that thought. If you are booking local talent, sometimes people, I noticed someone did this, another comedian books local talent and says, I'm not going to tell you who they are. That's kind of fun. So I think another thing is, like, I mentioned this in this podcast, like I went out on tour and people were like, wait, you're not super viral. You're not very famous. And I prove them wrong, because you can attract a crowd. You can make a tour that's not going to drown you in expenses. You can do all of that. You can make a tour that makes sense by making a concept that resonates. And Misfit Variety Show is talking about like bringing people together to talk about and celebrate being different. And that resonates with people. They don't need to know me to want to come to the show. And that's what I was trying to do. I think for outside the talent, the local talent that you're booking, they might not understand the importance of the opportunity. Most of my talent was amazing. A few people I thought threw away the opportunity. Like they just didn't, this has happened even in New York. They just don't see the importance of the show. They don't understand the show that it had like, because there's lots of janky shows, let's be honest. So they don't understand that it's a well-produced, well-curated evening with a receptive audience who is there for you and there for to hear all your weird shit, all your vulnerable stuff. And I would really press on them the importance. I was filming. It's a new thing. I realized that I got to step up my clip game. So I've invested in a camera and was filming everything. And I shouldn't say I'm going to give you a copy of that. Although a lot of my filming did not work out very well because I'm still learning. But I think the next tour, I will understand how to make sure I have good footage. And then I will be able to promise that. So I think that might be helpful if you're booking local talent, being impressing upon them that this is a well-produced show. Because if you're listening to this, I hope it's a well-produced show. Otherwise, why bother? And that you'll be able to film them and get them a copy. Obviously, you're going to try to pay them, but that doesn't often help, I find. It's just like, okay, but they don't get it. So you have to make sure they get it. So I think I also learned on this journey the power of an email list. I have a monthly email list. If you're not on it, you should be on it. It's the only way to stay in touch with people. I've had it since I started in show business. I had an email list. I don't know where I learned that from. But whoever recommended it, I took it up and I've been sending monthly emails and people have been on it for years. I've had directors who've remembered me because of the list and I've cast me in things. I have also had people who came to the show who've been on the list for years. They just realized, oh my God, you're in my town. I'm coming. I had someone drive for 2 hours to come see the show. And I think he found me from a YouTube video. I'm not sure if he's on my list, but I think so. I think he's on my email list. But he found me originally from a YouTube video that I made. And then I brought him into my email vortex from there. And I want to say that to say, like, people really follow you. You know, you're making stuff and it can so often feel like you're just screaming into a void, or we know so if you're a creative, it feels like everyone you know is doing this, like doing stuff and putting stuff out there and no one cares. People do. People really do care. You do matter. People are resonating with what you're doing. Like, don't give up. Don't give up. Like, really. Create a way for people to follow you. I strongly recommend an email list because all of this social media shit is just temporary, but email is forever. So do it, do it, do it. All right. Another thing I learned is I had a budget in place and I knew my expenses before I went. So there's like a lot of expenses like merch. I had a place to put like when I knew a final rental car number, gas. I had the budget set up so I could just plug those expenses in. I had the formulas in there to divide it per show. And so I could see like how I was doing and it helped understand what was up. I did a lot of stuff through points. So I saved up points and I was able to use that to help with hotel expenses. I also stayed with my cousin a few nights, then stayed at hotels on points a few nights. And so I worked from December to April to make this happen. And I tallied up the amount of hours that I worked. And I probably underestimated it by like 30 hours, probably the amount of hours it took to do this tour. And I probably made like $4 an hour. I did calculate $4 an hour as a conservative. That's like a high number of how much I made. So I was able to pay for the tour on what I made and pay people and, you know, what I could. I had it. So the thing is, like, you see like, I can't manufacture money. Like, I can only do what I can do. I have expenses here. I can't go into debt to be here. Like, you shouldn't be going into debt to do a tour. I know a lot of people. I did talk to people intimately about the financials about their tour. And they said that they would lose a lot of money. And someone passed me an article that musicians are losing thousands of dollars to do their tour. That's a lot. Man, I don't know. I guess that's a much larger discussion about career strategy, et cetera. I know that if I didn't have points, that I would have probably broke even. So, yeah, I got my flights on points and I got hotels on points. So, yeah, if I didn't have that, I would have broken even. I would have made zero. I would have went into negative because, like, the labor, I didn't get paid for my, and I didn't like calculate the time of the tour, like getting paid for that. So, yeah, it's not like, just try to hemorrhage. It's going to be a hemorrhage of your time. And I guess time is money. So, yeah, it's a lot. Try to cut it down. Points. Calculate your expenses so you know how you're doing. And, yeah, leverage your community to try to make it happen. And also don't accept, you can't venues that want an output. Someone's like, oh, yeah, I got to pay. This is someone who's not a performer, more of a producer. And he does bigger shows. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'll have to like think about the expenses. And then I got to put like $3,000 out for a venue. And I'm like, what are you doing? What? No. A lot of the venues, it was more of like, if I make money, we make money kind of situation, but not like an outlay of money on my part. So I highly recommend that. So one thing I did try in this tour is to do a pre-show, like to have a nonprofit come. If I was working with a nonprofit, we had music in one. It was an hour. The whole idea is that the bar makes more money if people come earlier and then people can bond and get to know each other more. Not worth doing. People don't come early. People come 20 minutes before a show max. So I would just do 30 minutes. That's something I will stop doing. By the way, start, stop, and grow is like a nice thought exercise to do after a show. Like, what am I going to start doing that I didn't do? What am I going to stop doing? And what am I going to do more of, grow? These are some things that I'm going to stop. Also, I realized step and repeat. I have like a cool background with Misfit Variety Show and I put it up. I learned if it doesn't look good, if people are not going to be able to take a really nice picture, meaning the lighting isn't really good, it's not worth doing. I got a little lazy. I didn't want to bring my big light. And that was a big mistake. I should have brought it because we needed it to make it look worth it. So yeah, big mistake. Something I learned. You need to have a step and repeat. If you're going to do a step and repeat, make sure you bring that light. Also, yeah, I learned the hard way. I have these cool pencils that say, write your drama, erase your trauma. And I've learned that nobody wants pencils. People don't even have pencil sharpeners. So yes, think about what people really want and get that from merch. I think stickers are easy. Pencils are like a little bit heavy. T-shirts are heavy. No on those. I think stickers are easy to pack and everyone wants a sticker. Buttons too. No on pencils, FYI. Just really be careful because I spent money on those and then, yeah, I just finished paying those back. So I thought Instagram was good about like connecting with a local scene, especially smaller scenes. I found that very useful. So look at that through hashtags as a recommendation. And then I connected with Tommy Tommy Cook, who came and did music for the Kalamazoo show that way. So recommend that. For bigger scenes, it's harder. I don't know if this is much worth it. It's a little bit to see like who's what, doing what, but people are just busy and it's kind of vast and I didn't find it as useful. I think the other thing is I would worry a lot about like who was going to come and if we were going to have enough people. So the show that we did the worst at was Detroit Sunday. And it was also priced wrong. Where do I have that here somewhere? Also, yeah, be careful about pricing things right. Because it was the one place that I didn't do sliding scale. And especially if you're an unknown quantity, I think having a sliding scale is good. Because some people just don't want to risk going to a show that they don't know for sure what it's going to be like. Because the person isn't famous in some way. And that's just what it is. And Detroit is especially hesitant about out-of-town people. So Detroit, we didn't do great. So I'm giving you the worst-case scenario. But I put them in a clump. I made them all sit together. I got rid of a lot of chairs. I noticed that the venue put a curtain, which like made the audience a lot smaller. So I used that Indianapolis. It was like a good crowd, but not a huge crowd. So I used a step and repeat as a way to like have the room. And that made it, cause it's a huge venue in Indianapolis. So I used a step and repeat to like kind of make the room smaller. Detroit, they use curtains. And I went out and I did the best I could. And I was just proud of the show and no one cared. No, everyone had a great time. And I know this too, as an audience member, I don't really care how many people are in the audience. That's their loss if they didn't come. So don't worry. I would next time not worry as much about, I was so worried. Oh my God. What if no one comes? I'm going to feel awful. I'm going to stand there and I'm just going to feel like everything, like all of the rejection in my life is going to come pouring down and I'm just going to feel terrible. No, not at all. Just look at their smiling face. They're happy. They're really happy to be there. But do those steps. Make them sit in a clump. That makes them, and get rid of a lot of chairs and do things to make the room smaller. And it just makes it more intimate and it makes the experience more fun for you as well. Even at Detroit, the performers were like, that audience was great. And it's because we did all those steps. I think you do ask for tips. The venue money is not going to cut it. And I was able to pay performers because I got tips. Also, VIP tickets are great. Listen, people get it. People get it. Like people get that, that you need to support, they need to support comedy. Comedians aren't getting paid $1 zillion. So I think have sliding scale on the one end and then do VIP ticket, give them some merch, make them feel good. Makes them feel good to be able to help you. So, because I'm telling you, the money from the venue, the cut is not going to be enough. So you need to do those things. I highly recommend it. I think there's an intangible benefit to touring, and that's sharing your work with people. I had this especially !! At Untangling Our Roots, which I did in Denver. It was a conference for adoptees, donor-conceived people, people with misattributed parentage, not parent-expected experiences, basically like grandma be fucking and your dad's not who you thought it was, or your granddad's not who you thought he was. So that was incredible. I had people like hold my hands and look in my eyes being like, thank you for what you did. And this was exactly what I needed. And there's something in, they talk about in entrepreneurial circles, like the greatest need, like you want to find your greatest talent with like your greatest need, and doing that conference with people who got it and were deeply affected by my work was such an intangible benefit to touring and kind of makes you feel like, oh my God, I'm doing this for something. Someone values me. This is very important. So highly, highly recommend it. Finding a way to get in front of the people who will resonate with what you do. Because when you do that, it makes so much of it worth it on this intangible way level. So I think the thing, it's another important tip is to talk to the venue about how you did. Like in Indianapolis, they were just so like straight shooters about like, this is the worst day that you got some people in here. Great. It's all relative. Denver too. I was talking to them about how would you say this went? How would you say we pulled a crowd? And they'll help you understand that. You want to understand how you did compared to other people with out-of-town shows on similar days and also in-town people on similar days. So ask those questions. That'll help you understand like how you're doing, what to do again, what to change, etc. Also, I accepted a deal in a venue, which was not great. And I shouldn't have done that. And I thought, well, I'm just going to get a lot of people because of XYZ, but don't do it because what if it doesn't turn out XYZ? Then you have a shitty deal. Always push back. Really fight for what you think would be sustainable for a tour and what would make you feel valued as an artist. So I would definitely push back next time on that. People ask me a lot, how did I find venues and performers? Venues, I ask friends, I Googled, I kind of knew the type of venue. I think it's easier to be in the flight path of work that you do. Versus like in DC, we were in a venue that was mostly known for music. And the comedians were like, this is not where comedy happens in this part of town. So I was like, okay, lesson learned. I will find a venue in the flight path of the work that I do in the part of the town that people want to go to for this thing. So highly recommend doing that. Performers, I ask friends and associates, people who lived in that town or used to live in that town. I also looked at the venue Instagram page and I looked at shows and saw who was performing regularly. And then I sometimes ask producers of shows and ask them for their recommendations, especially shows that had a similar vibe or like I can sense that they might know people that I would want. Then the last choice was Eventbrite. I would look at like, okay, let me go on Eventbrite, see what comedy's happening in the next month. Who's performing? And that would be helpful because I want people who are current, people who are doing things around town. That means that they're vetted in some way. You know, if I don't have someone personally recommend, that means that they are vetted because they are active. So next steps, I think I'm going to look for more anchors. That's like a anchor show is when a show that you know that's going to do great. And then so you're in association with a conference or it's in a spot that you know is perfect on a day you know is perfect. So you do that anchor show and then you like build out from there. I think long weekends are great. I think five shows is a lot. I would maybe do four. Just for me, because I have so much to book, that's why it's difficult. I'm going to be using all this footage I have to work on audience building because I've bumped into friends who are performers. And I said, how are you doing? They're like, great. And the thing that changed my life was putting better clips online. So, you know, it's so crazy. Like, I give myself no credit for things. For a long time, I thought, if I use the clips from the show, that's cheating. Like, what the fuck? I'm like, no, that's like my audience who loves what I do, appreciates what I do. Using those clips is not cheating. It's actually being smart and showing people the full value and the height of what I do. And so, yes, I am going to be working on that coming up. That's I'm looking for a Southeast tour maybe next fall. And I might find another conference next spring, a conference or two next spring, because I think that's a way to anchor yourself and get in front of people. You have like hundreds of people that you're in front of who become your fans just like that. So that's what I got. Any other questions? Oh my God, let me know. I hope this was helpful. Let me know if it was helpful because I definitely spent some time thinking about it and compiling all of my notes and thoughts and journals. And I wish you the best of luck with all this shit. And I'm always willing to talk to other people doing their own thing to exchange information because I think it's important that we help each other because hashtag all boats, rising tide lifts all boats. So let's do it. Go out there. And if you're just looking to see how what it's like to tour, I hope this encourages you to support local touring artists. So much love to you. Be funky, be weird. I love you. Mwah.